With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For all the news you need to know, welcome to the Beautiful Butterfly Show, where great people and great topics are brought together for stimulating and thought-provoking conversation, brought to you by the Vibration Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. But thank you guys for joining me tonight, folks. Hey, hope you had a great day and that you are at home and that you got your notebook out so you can take some notes tonight because we, and I say we because it's myself and you guys, I want us to take notes tonight. We've got a very informative show coming up for you guys tonight. We are going to be discussing lupus tonight, and I know a lot of folks are saying, like, what is lupus? And it's crazy because over the, I would say the past couple of years, I've been hearing lupus, whether it's on social media and so forth of that. But when I met our special guest tonight, which is Raquel, she is the founder of Lupus in Color. And when I first met her, I learned about her story and her journey with lupus. And so really after the first show that I had with her, is when I really, you know, got intrigued by it and wanted to, you know, learn even more about it. And since knowing Raquel, I've met quite a few people through social media who had lupus or they have a loved one who is dealing with lupus and so forth. And so tonight I am excited about getting this information out there so that people can take heed to it. And it's always great to be informed about different things. You know, so much going on in the world in different cities and things that are taking place in other countries. But, you know, when it comes to our health, sometimes we have a tendency to just overlook things, you know. So tonight we're going to do just that. We're going to be informed. So I'm not going to delay any longer. I'm going to bring our special guest right on here. Raquel, are you there?
I am there. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. Now, say I'm going to put it on air here. Say your last name. So I know everybody might be stumping on it, but I, you know, including myself. So say it for everybody so we'll know exactly what we're saying.
not a problem. It's Raquel Dozier, or Rocky if it's
Dozier.
Easier for everybody to remember.
Yes, I got it. Okay, so I was right. I should have went with my first intuition.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Of course. So it's been a while since you've been on the show. And when you came on once before, we discussed lupus. So for those people out there, tell them a little bit about yourself and also about Lupus in Color.
Okay. Well, first, I want to say thank you again for contacting me and letting me be a part of your show and get the word out about lupus. It's real important for me to get the word out and to let people understand exactly what it is and what it is not. As you said, I'm the founder of Lupus in Color. And Lupus in Color, I started it because I didn't have any support. When I was diagnosed officially in 2003.
Okay.
Nobody knew about lupus. You know, everybody thought it was cancer. Everybody thought it was like HIV. You know, nobody really knew. There weren't any real groups in the area that I was living in. So I started Lupus and Cholera to inform myself, number one, and to help others that might be in the same situation that I am in. So the main goal of it is to give a positive hope to lupus warriors through love and encouragement and positive support. So that's the reason why I started Lupus and Cholera. I was officially diagnosed with lupus in 2003, but the symptoms came from 2001. My original diagnosis was severe rheumatoid arthritis, which I still have. And when the lupus started to attack my organs, that's when I was officially diagnosed with lupus in 2003. And just to give you a little idea, lupus is basically your body attacking itself. It doesn't understand that these tissues are good and they're helping you, and it attacks you. You know, when you have a cold, your body fights off that cold by your body actually attaching onto the bad stuff and removing them through fever, through, you know, blowing your nose or things of that nature. Well, with someone who has lupus, their body can't tell the difference. Everything is bad. So it begins to attack different organs. It begins to attack your skin. It begins to attack your joints and things of that nature. And that's like the easiest way to put it. It's not cancer because, you know, unfortunately a cancer is a horrible disease, but you can cut cancer out. You can't get rid of lupus. It's not HIV. It's an autoimmune disease where your actual immune system is overactive. Child that has ADHD just all over the place.
Right.
So it's important to clear that up because I know a lot of people do think that lupus is cancer or related to HIV.
Right.
And it can get confusing, so it's good to let people know that. But, you know, the purpose of Lupus and Cholera is really to spread lupus awareness and assist lupus warriors with positive encouragement in day-to-day living.
Right. Because I feel like sometimes people have a tendency to think that lupus is like something you can catch. Like you mentioned, when it came to AIDS or HIV, sometimes people think that lupus is actually something you can catch, but in fact, it's nothing that's like contagious or anything.
No, you can't catch it from hugging them. You can't catch it from sexual contact. You can't catch it from someone coughing on you. It's actually usually something that's in the genes. Usually someone who has been diagnosed with lupus has someone in their family that has an autoimmune disease. My father has scleroderma. That's an offset of lupus. That's where mine came from. My son has type 1 diabetes, another autoimmune. It's all in the autoimmune gene, so to speak. And they don't really know or understand where it's coming from. That's just my little knowledge in my head from dealing with it and talking to different people all over the world.
Right.
But no, you cannot catch it. It's okay to hug a lupus warrior. It's okay to kiss him. It's okay. You're not going to catch it. If you catch it, we're going to try and take it from you anyway. So I definitely wouldn't. I would hate that would be the case because it's definitely a difficult disease to deal with. And I would never even wish that upon my worst enemy.
So for you, you know, a typical day, for someone who does experience lupus, for you, what is a typical day like for you?
Well, it can vary. The thing about lupus is that it comes in spurts and it comes in what's called flares. One day I could be good. You know, I was an athlete prior to being diagnosed. I was a dancer. I was very, very healthy prior to being diagnosed. And it kind of just hit me like a brick. So from that point on, it was just symptomatic of different flares and different things that happen. So a typical day is usually just like anybody else's normal day. The only difference is that when I try to get out of bed, it's not something I'm just going to hop out of bed. It takes some time for me to get out of bed because I do have severe rheumatoid arthritis as well. So my legs can't move as quickly as someone who doesn't have that. Or I've been up half the night because of the medications that might give you insomnia. and I'm not able to get up, you know, as early as I should be getting up and things of that nature. Most of the time it's the little things that you that many people might take advantage of, like getting out of bed, like washing your hair, like brushing your teeth. Those things become difficult tasks when you are not sure how you're going to feel 8 hours from the time you went to bed. So it can vary. I can have a very good day, and most times it's a very good day. I don't even want to say it's a very good day. It's a day that I'm used to, where I can just get up out of bed and just go on about my day. But there are some days that I cannot walk. There are some days that I cannot talk because of, you know, laryngitis and things of that nature. But most days are pretty okay. And then as your day progresses, we have what we call, we grab a spoon and we'll use that for getting out of bed. You understand what I'm saying? Or we'll use it for washing our face. Or we'll use it for going to work. Because most of us warriors are still working, even beyond the pain. So it can vary from day to day. Most days are pretty good, but there are some days that are very difficult just to move, just to move the covers off of you, just to breathe, and things of that nature.
Right. And so for you, do you find it that people who are around you, and people who may not, you know really, really what, they know that you have it, but they don't know what toll it can take on your body. So do sometimes a lot of people, you know, want you to do a lot of things, but they just don't understand that you just don't have the energy to do it right then at that specific time.
Yeah, and I think what happens is that as you battle certain things in your life, you tend to overcompensate in areas so that people cannot notice that. And I think sometimes people do probably look at me and like, you look too good to be sick. Oh my gosh, you're always on the go. But the reality of the fact is it's a facade. You know, we all have these facades that we put on so that people don't know what we're going through minute to minute. And sometimes it's hard to keep that mask on. And I have to let people know, look, I'm not feeling well today. It's a hard day for me. I can't walk. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, there have been times where I couldn't even wipe my own behind. It's nasty, but hey, it is what it is.
Right.
You know, when people are able to see something like that, or I have friends that have had to see me vomiting all over the floor from medications that were given, when they see that, it becomes a reality for them. It's a nasty, unfortunate reality, but it is something that has to be seen every now and again so people really understand, oh, it's not a joke. It's a serious disease, stops you from doing your daily activities, and it's hard to deal with. It's hard to be a caretaker. It's hard to have the disease. It's hard to be a child of that disease. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I do have to show that portion of me. And, you know, people have to understand, you know. Sometimes I'm not going out tonight. Not like I go out every night anyway, but you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, you can't do everything all the time. And while you're showing them that you can't do it, you're teaching yourself your limits. And as a person who deals with a chronic illness, you have to know where your limits are. You can't overdo it and then pay for it for the next month.
Right. So I did want to ask you, for those, because I know you have your family around and so forth, and so for the folks out there who may be experiencing it and they have family members, or they might be a family member themselves and they have a loved one who's experiencing themselves, what is your recommendation on being supportive with individual who does have lupus? Because I can imagine that, you know, it's going to be those frustration that comes out of it. You know, you're frustrated because you're not able to do certain things that you want to, or you're not feeling up to it. What can family members do to show their support to someone who is dealing with lupus?
That's a good question. I think for anyone, it would be understanding. Understanding that it's a real disease. I think what a lot of people go through is their family, you know, or people that are close to them are in denial. You know, when you're diagnosed with a chronic illness, you go through a mourning period. And not only does the person who is dealing with that chronic illness go through that mourning period, but their family does, you know, because they're used to seeing you moving, shaking, working, doing, you know, doing what you're supposed to do day to day, what so-called normal people do day to day. And I think once they begin, once you educate them and they begin to understand that it's not something that might be constant all the time, but it is something that will happen at a whim, I think that puts them in a frame of mind that they are understanding of what you're going through and they're not judging you because you can't, you know?
Right.
So I think the main thing is understanding and accepting it. A lot of times the reason why people don't support you is because they haven't accepted that you can't do the things that you used to do, that your life has changed. And they can't fathom the idea of you not doing the things that you used to do. And it's hard for a person who loves you to sit back and see you riddled in pain, can't walk, can't move, or just have a grimace on your face only in front of them because they're the only people you trust to do that in front of. You know, once they come to an understanding and accept the fact that you're going to have to deal with this disease, easier on them to support you. The more they're educated, the more they'll understand, and the more that they'll accept it and support you.
Awesome. So for you, also because you are definitely one, you have a son, and so I know he's involved in sports, so you're always on the go and trying to support him. And how is that, you know, trying to, you know, stay active, you know, with your kids while dealing with lupus?
And, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, it's stuff that you have to do it. You know, if I can't do it, my son has grown up knowing I have lupus. He also has his own autoimmune disease to deal with, type 1 diabetes. So he understands when mom can't go, he understands when he can't go. It's something that he's dealing with on two different levels as far as supporting me and dealing with his own so-called demons is what I call them. So it's hard when you can't do it. But you make every effort to do what you can. I mean, I stay on the go, and I tell people I stay on the go because if I stop, I have time to think about the illness, to get into a depression about the illness, and I have time to get angry. And I don't want to do all that. You know, I try to keep my life as positive as I can. I try to keep my mind clear of stressors, and a lot of people don't understand that, but it's something that has to be done because stress is a flare activator. And when I allow that to come into my life, into my threshold of all my realm here, it creates a flare, you know what I'm saying? So I try to keep arm's length, everything at arm's length. You know, I can't have all that stress. So I try and be at the things that I can be at, and when I can't, you know, my family understands. They help me.
Right.
They'll video. They'll Skype it. They'll do whatever they have to do to get it to where I can see it. You know, there have been times that I've missed a couple of, you know, activities for my son because of being ill. But, you know, they learn. It's a good teaching tool to teach them that everything is not going to be perfect in life. And you have to roll with the punches and not get upset about it.
For you, have you just in your research, have you discovered that do say a woman who does have lupus and she wants to, you know, have a baby, is there sometimes some type of caution in someone who does want to have a baby who does have lupus?
You know, I had already had my son by that time, but I have noticed that in my research that sometimes after a child is born that it can shock lupus into action. You basically have always had it. It just pops up from whether it be a medical emergency in your life, when you had to get surgery or something like that. I would just caution women to just stay healthy, eat right. Even though there's no cure for lupus, we do understand that food has a big portion in the inflammation that lupus can put in your body. You know, like red meats can provide, you know, high inflammation. Alfalfa sprouts, you know, things like that can give you a flare, can put inflammation in your body. So I don't know if I was so much caution because people are going to do what they want to do.
Right.
Women want to have babies, and I completely understand that it's a marvelous thing, as you know. But I would just say to eat healthy, continue to work out even when you're in a little bit of pain, do something small, and keep your mind right. A lot of times, your body will follow what your mind gives it. And even though lupus is still going to be there, you can minimize its effects by what you're thinking and what you're putting in your mind. So keeping your mind, your body, and your spirit correct, you can have a successful pregnancy. I know a lot of people who have gotten pregnant while they have lupus, and they just keep healthy. They keep healthy.
Right.
And they do it. And, you know, their babies are healthy, and they're even healthier sometimes after they have the baby. So,
right,
it's definitely something that you need to trust.
And like you said, a lot of times, you know, even if the doctor, you know, tells us, you know, the things that we shouldn't do when we have certain things, a lot of people are definitely going to do what they, you know, they desire. But like you said, you know, as far as eating healthy and keeping yourself, you know, clear when it comes to your mind and your body and your spirit, and all working together. And I heard you mention stress, and I heard a lot of people who deal with lupus, stress is a big can cause a huge flare up. Why is that?
You know, well, stress can kill you, whether you have lupus or whether you are a healthy person.
Whether or not, yes, right.
Yeah, you know, it's just stress does something. It gives you these hormones that are just very harmful for your body. And when your immune system is compromised and weakened by a chronic illness, whether it be lupus or cancer or whatever it can be, it's harder to get over things. If you have a cut, it's harder for it to heal. If you have a death, your emotions are raw. But when your immune system is compromised, it seems like everything is so magnified. And you just have to limit what you put focus on, as opposed to putting the focus on the negative issue that will cause you stress. Focus on what positive can come out of it. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, isn't lupus stressful? Yeah, lupus is stressful, but you know what? I also see it as a blessing because I've met so many different people from all over the world, and I get to talk to people so many different places about so many different things other than lupus, that it has become a blessing in my life, and that's the way I'm going to look at it. You know, yes, it's a pain in the behind. It hurts. It sucks that I have it, but the reality of the fact is that it's here, and it's not going anywhere until it goes somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the less stress you place on having it, the healthier you're going to be able to fight it, if that makes sense.
Right. Absolutely.
It's just so difficult for people to get in that frame of mind because, like I said, it's a mourning process. You got to mourn who you used to be. You have to go through that anger. You have to go through that sadness to come to the place in your life that says, okay, I'm just going to roll with everything that goes and not stress myself out about it.
Right.
You know, but that stress is a killer, you know, even without lupus. It's the best way for you to remove that stress is to have your mind in the right place and have your focus constantly on what's good and not what's bad.
Absolutely. And for you, I wanted to ask you, because, of course, in doing my research, I learned that lupus has a tendency to affect more women in color. Why is that? Why is lupus more common to affect women of color versus other cultures?
You know, I can't give you a definitive answer on that. I can say that what I think is environmental factors, the way we have throughout the centuries have eaten. It's just, I can only assume, you know, that these are some of the things that make it that way. Although men do have lupus, most of the time it's discoid lupus, which is with your skin, or lupus nephritis, which is with your kidney. They go through the same issues that women go through. It's not very much of a difference. The only thing that's really different is that they're seen, they're judged so much worse than women are when they can't do the male and so-called things that they're usually doing because of pain and because of just fatigue. So I couldn't really tell you why. I can just tell you that what I think it is environmental, coming from creation of how, you know, Black women have had to eat and things of that nature, and the gene pool. If your family has had history of autoimmune diseases, you know, most likely going to skip some generations and hit someone in that gene pool. So I wish that we could find the exact cause and why things happen the way that they do. That would make it so much easier to find a cure.
Right.
To pinpoint, damn, okay, it's this cell, and we need to remove that cell and go on and get that cell out of there, and everything will be good. But I guess that's what research is for. That's what the Lupus Foundation of America is for, Alliance of Research Lupus. That's what those organizations are for. So when you're giving money to them, they're doing the research to find new drugs, to find reasons as to why it does occur more in African American women than Caucasian women or other Asian women or Latino women and things of that nature. But my best guess is environmental and just the way of living that African Americans have had to endure throughout time.
Wow. And that makes a great point, because a lot of times when you look back and you say, our grandmothers ate, and what our grandmothers gave us, sometimes it wasn't always the best stuff. You know, we survived and everything, but sometimes it wasn't always the best thing, per se, that we should have partaken of. But I did want to ask you, for the folks out there listening, what are some of the common signs before you were diagnosed officially? Were there any signs and symptoms that you noticed that something's just not right with my body?
Well, for me personally, I think the RA manifested itself first. I could not, when I was first having some issues, I was having some weight loss, a lot of fatigue. I could not extend my arms all the way out. They were always bent. I had a few rashes over my body. And I had these fevers that just wouldn't go away. And those are some of the common ones that people might mistaken for a flu-like symptom or of just, you know, maybe some food poisoning or things of that nature. The thing about lupus is that it's such a big mimicker of other diseases. It takes from 2 to 5 years for someone to really have a firm diagnosis and to get on a plan of just trying to get it normalized and a medication plan that will help them just live a normal life. But mostly there are like maybe about 16 different symptoms along with specific blood tests. There's no specific test for lupus, but they can check different levels in your blood that can tell them that present in your body. So unexplained fever, weight loss, fatigue, swollen joint stiffness, rashes. The most common rash for lupus warriors is on the face, and it looks like a butterfly because it comes upon the cheek and up at the forehead, down the nose, and things of that nature. Ulcers, like in your mouth or in your nose. Sometimes chest pain, change of color in your hands, muscle weakness. You know, those are the common ones.
Right.
Those are the common ones that most people probably will walk into the office and say, listen, I'm having night sweats. I can't move my hands. Because when I was originally diagnosed, it was all in my hands and my arms and my elbows, and I couldn't outstretch. I couldn't even hold like my toothbrush. I had ulcers in my mouth. I had rashes, little patches of rashes over my body. So those are some of the things that you can look for. But don't,
right.
you know, don't look at it and be like, oh, my God, I have lupus. No.
right, right.
Let's not speak that over yourself. But, you know, it might just be, you know, a little rash. It might just be.
Right.
It's a whole right. list of things, of about 16 things that the doctor will go over with you, along with your medical mm-hmm. history and your family mm-hmm. history, mm-hmm. and the blood test that will really tell you exactly what it is. And there are so
right.
many autoimmune diseases out there that lupus sometimes looks just like fibromyalgia or
mm-hmm.
Autoimmune disease, sarcoidosis or something like that. When in fact, you know, it actually might just be lupus, and these are just little offsets of what lupus can do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things. I mean, if you do feel like you have a lot of these symptoms, you can go on my website and it'll tell you what symptoms it is and contact your doctor and ask him, you
right.
know, should I be concerned? And what else can we do to find out if this is a firm diagnosis of lupus?
Right. And for you, I want to talk about a little bit how lupus plays on you mentally and emotionally, because, of course, at one point in time, if you're used to, you know, being very energetic and, like you said, rolling out of bed and going and doing whatever you want to do, and then, you know, you have this shift that happens in your life where things kind of slow down a little bit, and, you know, some days you may be able to roll out of bed and do what you like, and then some days it's going to take a little more effort to do, or some days you may just have to relax. How does that play on you mentally and emotionally?
It can mess you up if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
most, you know, some days it does mess me up, you know.
Yeah.
Some days I
yeah.
just can't handle it, and sometimes I'm just sitting there crying, and, you know,
yeah.
that's where your support system comes in. You know, my husband's good for saying, okay, enough. You've had your pity party. Get up. Let's go.
right.
The only way it's going to change is if you make it change. It can really mess with you emotionally. It can really mess with your spirituality, because a lot of times you go through a period of why me, why me? And
right.
until you get to the point where you are over the hump of being angry and being sad about it and come to
right.
the point of accepting, I have to change what I do in order not to be sick. It becomes
right.
a lifestyle, you know, it becomes a lifestyle change. And sometimes you just have to suck it up. I hate to say it that way because it seems
right.
kind of cruel to say it that way, but
right.
some days it's just going around and saying, I'm sucking it up. I'm just going. I'm fine. That's the famous words for a lupus word. I'm fine. I'm fine. And they might be dying inside. They might have cried all night the night before, but in the morning they're going to suck it up and be like, I'm fine. When you can't,
right.
you lay your behind on down, you cry it out, you cuss it out. I'm a proponent of writing. If you can write it out and burn it up, that works, because it's a mental thing. Sometimes it's mind over matter to move forward, not to get over
right.
having lupus, but just to move forward and get to the next moment.
Right.
So it can really be a Debbie Downer for you.
right.
If you allow it to be. The best thing about it is that you can go into those little funks. And as long as you wipe those tears, brush yourself off, get on up, and start again, all that doesn't even matter. All
right.
of that doesn't even matter, because you're going to have hard days. You have to realize that it's a hard day, not a hard life. And you have to understand that this is just something that you're going to deal with, and every day will not be perfect. Every day you won't be able to have a smile on your face. And some days
right.
you're just going to have to sit in a corner by yourself and just cry it out. And once you start to do that, you're releasing those emotions and you're letting them
right.
go. You're letting them fly into the wind. And you're allowing
right.
your body to rejuvenate from releasing those negative vibes inside you. So it is very difficult to deal with. It's very
right.
difficult to pull yourself out of it. But if you have a support system, if you have some type of spirituality within you, if you know how to encourage yourself just a little bit, it's a lot easier to go through and get over that hump. Mm-hmm. The valley, the hard, but when you get to the top of that mountain, it's a beautiful sight.
Absolutely. Well said. I mean, and you know, and the thing about it is that a lot of us, you know, even when we get a little common cold, you know, we pitiful. when we get a little common cold, you know, sometimes it gets the best of us and we turn into baby mode. We irritated because we want to feel better and we can't, right. You know, and we're taking medicine and so forth. But, you know, with someone who has lupus, it's different because even if you're not feeling better, you can take your medication, but like you said, it's something that is not just going to go away. You know, and so for you, what are you hoping, you know, seeing people, you know, make new discoveries every day? What are you hoping for when it comes to someone finally finding some type of cure or even a better way to control lupus more? What are your thoughts on someone, you know, finding those avenues to make those things happen?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it took them 50 years to make a drug that actually targets lupus.
Wow.
And that's what I call my lupus be gone juice. It's called Benlysta.
Right.
And it took them 50 years to make that. So if
wow.
they can find a cure, of course, that's the ultimate goal.
Right.
And they might not find a cure in my lifetime. But my hope is that even what I'm going through, whatever my levels tell them, whatever they have to take out of my body to make it act right or whatever have you, that they can use that to help someone in the future to have a cure or to have some relief.
Right.
And my immediate goal is to just get relief. But the medicine is actually giving you something else. You know, mm-hmm. the medicine might give you high blood pressure. It might give you heart palpitations, it might give you diabetes. So you're trying to treat one disease, and then you'll get a whole bunch of little diseases attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my first goal would be to find something that can just alleviate the pain for a lupus warrior. It's such
right.
a tale untold. So many people are so embarrassed that they have lupus that they can't do the things that they used to do. A lot of people won't tell you that they have lupus. And when you find someone that does, it's like, oh, my God, yes. So I wanted to be more open of
right.
having a chronic illness. So my main goal would be, of course, a cure.
Mm-hmm.
If when I go, you could take my body and it will find a cure, please take it, tear it apart, do what you got to do. But
right.
before I go, I want them to find something to really control this disease so that people can live a decent life. It's not even normal anymore because normal is really subjective to who you are.
Just
right. a decent life
right.
where they are not always worrying about the next breath, you
right.
know, where they're not always so afraid that tomorrow might not come.
Mm-hmm.
So just something that that can alleviate the pain a little better without giving them other diseases, basically. Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, of course, the main goal is always a cure. We really need a cure. And many people will come at you and say, oh, if you ate better, if you prayed more, if you did this, if you did that, oh, you'd be good and you won't have lupus. I wish it was that
mm-hmm.
easy because, you know what, if I could eat iron, I'd eat it if I knew it was going to cure me. If it was something
mm-hmm.
as simple as that, we'd all be doing it. It wouldn't be a question. It wouldn't be neither here or there. The reality of the fact is that there is no cure, and we do need one. But the only way that we'll get that is if people are willing to take a little bit of themselves to get that, because we
right.
can't find a cure if we don't know what the issues are. And that goes to the trials and things that they do to get to research. So, ultimate goal, of course, is cure. But until
right.
then, just alleviate that pain and that suffering. It is a suffering that many lupus
right.
warriors go through, you know. And I don't say lupus
right.
survivors very often because I can survive a day. But when I fight and I'm a warrior, you know that I'm in it to win it. So it's great to survive. I want to survive, but ultimately I want to beat lupus. And the only way I'm going to do that is to be a warrior.
Right.
That's the only way.
Absolutely. And for me, even though I've never met you personally, for me, I can just say through social media, I can really never tell when you have a bad day. You know, sometimes you'll put on there, hey, I'm not feeling it. today or what have you. But really, I can never tell. And some people I know who experience lupus, they're going to let you know, whenever they have something going on, they're going to let you know. But, you know, and I guess that's a lot to, you know, look at you and see that you're definitely, you know, pushing, you know, through the challenges. You know, you've been, you know, a challenge has been put before you. But the thing about it, you haven't let it totally control your life, you know, and to continue to push and make strides daily, even, you know, like you said, sometimes when you don't feel like it. And I think sometimes just in life in general, whether we have lupus or we don't have lupus, we have to look at those things and say, you know what, I'm definitely pushing myself to a new level that I've never reached before, but I'm definitely going to make it happen. You know?
Yeah, because you can't keep yourself into that negative state. It'll eat you up. It'll eat you up.
Right.
You'll sit in a lap of depression, and it's hard to get out of that. And it's hard to get to that point. And like I said, every day is not good. But you know what? There's something good in every day. And that's the way I look at it. You know, in the morning I might not feel well, but in the afternoon, guess what? I had a breather. I'm able to do more than I did yesterday. And you have to look at the small things and make them the big things for you. And once you do that, you put yourself in a mindset of, I'm here to live. You know, we all are living to die, but I'm here to live in the moment that I'm in. No exceptions. No specific rules. I just want to live. And that's where I think that's where I'm at in my life. I just want to live. I've been through so much. And I think living in your moment makes a difference as opposed to worrying about what happened yesterday and trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't control that. You can only control where you are right now. So if you get your mind right, your spirit's going to follow. And your body might cooperate every now and again, but if it doesn't, you just keep it moving. You do a little bit at a time.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something, a lot of people who do have lupus, sometimes they don't want other people to know. Why do you think people who do have it don't want others to know? I mean, you know, I would hope that if I did know someone close to me who did have lupus, that they would let you know, because the thing you said earlier in the show with flare-ups, you know, some of them just happen all of a sudden, and, you know, and so, you know, you might panic and you don't know what to do. So why do you think some people choose not to want others? Is it more of a pride issue, or, I mean, do they feel embarrassed by it?
I think it's just wherever they are in their acceptance of what lupus is to them. I don't know if it's so much pride at that point, because you have to make so many lifestyle changes that pride is really tossed out the door sometimes. I think they are embarrassed, because many people see chronic illness of any kind as a weakness. I can't do this. Oh, I used to do that. Can't do it now because I'm so weak. And, you know, they see it as a weakness. And they're at that point in dealing with lupus that you don't need to know what I have. You know,
you can't
see it. So what's the purpose of me telling you in order for you to tell me that I don't look sick? You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
Sometimes it's just what the feedback is going to be from me saying, oh, I have lupus, and someone not knowing anything about it, saying, oh, if you just eat right or if you just pray more, you'll be all right. No, you know, they don't want to have to deal with that back and forth. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't want to have to deal with explaining something that they may not even understand themselves. A lot of times people are going undiagnosed. Some people are going misdiagnosed. And some people just don't know. You know, when I found out I had lupus, I did everything I could to find out the most. And when I went back to that doctor, I became my own advocate, and I said, look, this is what I read, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of people are not there yet. Eventually, they get there. And if they don't, then they suffer in silence. But most of the time, I think it's they don't want to deal with that you don't look sick nonsense. They don't want to deal with people judging them because they can't. And they don't want people to see themselves as they're weak. You know, they don't want people to see them as they're weak. And, I mean, it's valid. It's hard sometimes to, because people treat you differently. You know, people treat you differently when you say, oh, I'm sick. And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, no. Can I help you with this? And sometimes you just, I don't need help. I can do it. I'm not an invalid, but I can do it. But, you know, like, calm down. Oh, she's here. Calm down. Everybody sit down. Oh, no. Don't make no special arrangements for me unless I ask you. But, you know, they don't want to go through all that, you know. And sometimes if they don't know about the disease themselves, they can't talk about it. They're not being, some people are not being treated for it, but they know they have it. Or some people choose to go the natural route, and they don't want people to know because they don't want them, you know, to be seen taking all this medicine. So it can be so many different things that will stop someone from saying, oh, I have lupus. But I think most of it is, no, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, yeah, I think a lot of times, and that's with a lot of things, you know, if we tell, like I was saying, some of this stuff applies if you have lupus or if you don't, you know, because it's like, you know, if you tell people you're pregnant, oh, you need to have a seat, you can't say that, so, you know, it's like, I'm okay, you know, I need to walk, you know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of times when we tell people stuff that's going on with us, so, you know, care can work people's nerves because, you know, my grandmother before she passed, you know, she couldn't get around as well. But sometimes, you know, people would be just all over her trying to help her. And she's like, I got it. You know, I don't need any help. So, yeah, I think, you know, like I said, educating yourself. And as well, you know, sitting down with the person and really, you know, finding out, you know, what they're really dealing with at hand, you know, is very important with those things. And like I said, you know, just being supportive because a lot of times, you know, and I and hearing you say that, the reason why some people won't talk about it is because if you're already having a pity party and then you tell someone what's going on with them, it creates another pity party, and it's like, hey, I'm already having a pity party. I don't need a, you know, extra pity party.
I don't need no extra pity on me.
Right.
You know, and some people just, and some people can't get out of that anger and the sadness of having lupus because you can't see it. It makes it so difficult to handle. You know, if I had the lupus rash, maybe that would, you know, help. I hate to say it that way, but it will help people understand, oh, this is a real disease. It's being shown. But when you look at me, you would think that I was the epitome of health. If you knew me from before and didn't know what I was going through, you would think, oh, no, she's still an athlete. She still runs. She still does this. She still works out, blah, 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 blah. But you don't know. You know, you can't see it. So it becomes a chore to tell people, look, I know I look good. But seriously, inside of me is twisted. It's like a satanic ritual going on inside me with this lupus trying to kill me off.
Right.
People don't understand that. They don't understand it until they see it. So it's difficult.
Absolutely. And I want to tell the callers on the line, if you guys have a question for Raquel or you got a comment, feel free to just press 1 if you're on the line and I'll bring you in so you can share with us. If you folks are out there listening, so please call in 347-326-9139. Make sure you press the number 1, and I'll be happy to bring you on the line here. Let's see. I'm going to go to our first caller here. All right. Caller from the 804, last digit 0065. State your name for
us. That's me. Hi, how are you? My name is Jan Rohn. I am blessed to be a part of the Lupus in Color group founder
there.
And I just want to let you know you're doing a fantastic job. And I also want to thank you, Ms. Fly, for featuring her so that this dreadful mean wolf can be exposed.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Yes, and one of the things that I want people to understand is this.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be ashamed if you have lupus.
Mm-hmm.
I met with someone today who is really ashamed, afraid, angry, and going through the grief process, and I myself probably went through all of that, and I'm still going through that. I was diagnosed officially in 99-2000. However, my doctors tell me probably the episodes that I had in high school and when I was in college were probably flares of lupus, but nobody, because I am a woman of color, African American, nobody ever thought to test for that, and they always said I had a virus. So it is a very difficult disease. And within the last few years, there really hasn't been but one medication, and correct me if I'm wrong, Raquel, that has actually been specifically for lupus. Everything else may be like your steroids and your things like Plaquenil or what have you. Now, the thing about lupus is this. Yes, we do hide behind masks. We smiled. We keep pushing, pushing, pushing. We overcompensate. We are overachievers. And we don't know how to be still, because I think also psychologically and emotionally it pushes us to keep going, because we really don't want to let this disease get us down. Okay. You know, most people, in particular in the African American population, don't even know what the word lupus is all about. So it is extremely important that we get it out there. Now, along with lupus, as Raquel has stated, can come also fibromyalgia. The majority of people who have lupus will experience some fibromyalgia. They will have some arthritis or any type of other autoimmune disorder they are more susceptible to. With lupus, we have some crazy things that go on with us. Even we call it brain fog. Brain fog. I remember one day I forgot how to get home, and that was so devastating to me. All I could do was pull. But what I want to say is this, that you keep on doing what you're doing, Raquel, and getting that information out there and that awareness out there. And we really, truly appreciate all that you do to help us to have high self-esteem and to move forth with this dreadful disease, which I feel and I am claiming that we're going to have victory and we're going to knock this thing right off its, and I can't say it, rear end.
Oh, you said that so nicely, Jan.
So,
and you know what? These are the type of blessings that I'm talking about, because if it wasn't for lupus, I would have never met Jan. We would have never had, you know, established any type of relationship. So these are little things that you have to hook on to and be happy for, because you could be doing it alone. But when you have people like Jan in your corner, you got to be able to beat stuff like this. It's just so supportive, and I love her so much. Thank you, Jan.
Oh, bless you.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to get off now, because maybe there's somebody who is going to have a question that they need to ask. And one thing I know for sure, that if Raquel can't answer that question, she will find the answer out for you.
Awesome.
I'm putting you out, Deanna. I'm putting you out.
I know, right?
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, be blessed. Okay.
All right, thanks, Deanna.
Bye-bye.
So we got another caller here from the area code 804, last digits 2898. State your name for us.
Kelly King.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
Welcome.
Hi. Well, again, I know Raquel. I call her Rocky. We've probably been knowing each other for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or more, really. I think it's
mm-hmm.
more than that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I also
awesome.
Participate in the Lupus in Color.
Okay.
And, of course,
okay.
Rocky, you're doing an awesome job.
Thank you, baby.
And I love you to pieces.
Of course. I love that.
But like she say, you know, for me, you know, when
mm-hmm.
she talked about how her lupus started, mine started in my feet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I can remember one morning getting up,
mm-hmm.
getting ready to go to work, and I went to put my feet down, and I got back in the bed, and I was like, I can't put my feet down. I can't put my feet down. And I looked at my husband and said, what is that? I said, it is so painful. I cannot put
wow.
my feet on the floor. I mean, it was like they were burning, and the pain just shot straight to my legs. And I was like, I can't walk. I can't put my feet on the floor. And he had to literally carry me to the bathroom. I was like, I have to use the bathroom. I got to get ready to work. Can't put my feet on the floor. And, of course, you go to the doctor, and it's like, oh, let's change your shoes, your arch fall. I've never had an arch to fall.
Flat-footed.
Wow. Oh, it's plantar fasciitis. Let's try this. They get you to spend $300 on shoes, and your feet are still hurting. And it sounded like she said you got to advocate for yourself. And I finally went to the doctor and said, I know there is something wrong, and it's not plantar fasciitis. It's not my arch fall. It's not I need $300 shoes. It is something bigger than that. You know, I'm getting upper respiratory infections, and most people take antibiotics. About 2 weeks, they're good. I had one literally for 3 months.
Wow.
3 months, I just kept an upper respiratory infection. I've had bronchitis for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
No, like it's something bigger than this. I kept getting strep throat. And finally found a doctor who was like, you have lupus. And they weren't looking at the picture that autoimmune ran in my family. My aunt passed away with lupus.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma has rheumatoid arthritis, so it was very prominent. But I found a doctor who was like, with your genetic background and all the symptoms, like she say, it's so many you go through. And my lab work was coming back abnormal and all the other signs, and I was having heart issues, and it all finally put the puzzle together. And I think that's the hard part, is sticking with it, fighting for yourself.
Right.
Not letting anybody make you feel like you're crazy. At one point, I thought I was crazy. I thought I was losing my mind.
Right.
And I started to fall into that. Well, maybe it is me. Maybe it's more mental. You know, maybe I'm thinking stuff is there that's not really there.
Right.
And my husband looked at me and was like, no, you look sick. You look like you don't feel well. You're not yourself.
Right.
You're sleeping all the time, and something's not right. He's like, your feet are swollen. Your face is red from being out in the sun for 10 minutes. I had a sunburn clear across my face, which really was the rash, but that's the hard part, sticking it out.
Right.
You know, going to this doctor and then going to that doctor, and then you go to the cardiologist, you go to the neurologist, and you're trying to get everybody to put these pieces together. And like Raquel said, you finally have to put the pieces together and then go to the doctor and say, here's the information. This is what's going on. Here's the puzzle.
Right.
I put it together. Now let's fix it.
Right. And you know what's funny with Kelly, she was teaching my son prior to even knowing that she had lupus. And it's just funny, you know, I believe in God. If you don't believe in God, whatever your higher power is, but I believe in God. And God puts people in your place and in your presence for a reason. There's a reason why my child went to that school. There's a reason why Kelly was his teacher. And there's a reason why we're in each other's lives today. And it's amazing to me when people focus so much on the negative of what lupus can do. Don't get me wrong. It can be very negative. But there are so many different blessings that can come out of it that people just don't understand. And Kelly and I were just put in each other's place and each other's time at the right period in our lives.
Right. Absolutely.
Really,
and I want to ask you, Kelly, because Raquel talked about it earlier in the show about how she does with the mental and emotional aspect of dealing with lupus. For you, what are some ways that you find that you are able to cope a little bit better with lupus on the days that, you know, you're having a rough day and you're feeling down about what's going on with you? How do you deal with that?
I'm a huge meditator. Huge meditator. I will lock myself or close myself in a room. And I would just sit with God and mm-hmm. go through my conversation. I talk to him like I'm talking to you. I'm like, hey, God, today rough.
Right.
I know you're making me better, but I don't know if I can go through this process with you. You know, and I sit and I meditate and I have that conversation with God. I love to sing. I think my right. family, like, Mama, you're still singing? Yes. I have to sing my way through some things. You have to just go and just sing throughout the house, sing myself out of bed, sing myself through the shower, sing myself doing my hair. I mean, I have to sing myself doing things. And then connecting with the right people.
Right.
You know, I can hit Raquel up with a message like, okay, I need you to motivate me because I'm tapped out. I'm dry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything today.
Right.
And I think it's really having a great support system and then having a faith base for yourself. I choose to believe in God. He's my faith base. Having that faith base for yourself.
Right.
But then understanding that it's just one moment you got to get past. I don't look past the hours. I deal with the second in front of me. Can't go past that. Each second of each moment I would deal with. And what I get achieved, I got to achieve. And if I don't achieve it today, it is okay. I really had to learn
that.
Totally had to learn that. It is okay that I can't hang out with my girlfriends. It is okay that I can't necessarily get up and cook dinner for my family. It is okay. It doesn't make me less of a person. That took me a while to get there because I felt less of a wife. I felt less of a mother that I couldn't do what I used to do.
Right.
And it took my husband saying, you're not less of a person. You just have to adjust in this person.
Great statement. Great statement. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Kelly, so much for calling in and sharing your story with us. And definitely inspiring and encouraging. And I'm definitely wishing you the best with everything as well.
Thank you. Thank you just for sharing the message. I know that's our biggest drive with Lupus in Color is sharing the message that don't
Absolutely.
Be ashamed. And we're going to beat.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Awesome, awesome. And as you mentioned, Raquel, as Lupus can be looked at as something very negative. It's created a common bond between you and so many individuals, like you said, people who you probably would have never shared that type of bond with, but you all have that same, that common interest and that common goal is to definitely, as everyone has came on the show and said, kick Lupus in his butt.
and get
Lupus out of here and, you know, become a warrior behind it, and it's definitely inspiring and encouraging. I hope that those that are listening tonight who may be dealing with it personally or may have a loved one or a friend can definitely take heed from some things shared tonight because, like I said, all of us, you know, could take the time to inform ourselves on what's going on. Now, I'm not saying go and educate yourself and then try to tell somebody with lupus how they should be feeling. No. I'm not saying that at all, you know. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to be cussed out. But I want you to educate yourself. I don't want you to go and say, hey, you're supposed to feel like this, you know. You're supposed to be dealing with it in this manner. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, educating yourself so that you can know exactly what's going on. And as Kelly mentioned, you know, so many of us go to the doctor and we have these certain symptoms and we're thinking it's one thing. Of course, you come back to the doctor, he told you it's a whole nother thing, you know, so you're taking an antibiotic for something that you may not even really have, but because textbook says, you know, this is what it looks like.
Exactly.
That's what they, you know, have diagnosed you with. So definitely staying on top of how you're feeling and different experiences on a daily basis, I see is definitely something to take note of because a lot of times, you know, for her, you know, Kelly, she was treated for so many other things, but for what she really had, you know, and that's wow, you know, to think that
you know, you can go to the doctor several times and you're treated for so much stuff, but nobody really knows what you have until later on down the line.
That's that frustration that can set in also.
Right.
It mimics so many different things. And at what point do you say, until you educate yourself, okay, look, we have to stop and look at this. So it's
right.
Real important to be an advocate for yourself, definitely.
Right. Absolutely. And one of the things I heard you mention earlier in the show, that your father was diagnosed with the illness, and then Kelly mentioned her family members as well. How important is it, just overall, of course, regardless if you have lupus or not, but specifically if you have lupus, to know your family history?
I don't think people realize how important it really is.
Yeah.
It is very important to know your family history. And if you don't know your family history, find out.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to older members of your family. Do your research about, you know, what family members may have passed away from, what they were going through before they passed away. Because that is your gateway to see what might happen further down the road.
Right.
It's just so important that, number one, you know your history. Number two,
right.
That you know that, okay, some people will think, oh, it's just me, my body is defective. No, it's something in the line. If you just
mm-hmm.
research your history, you'll see that there's something in the line, whether it be scleroderma, whether it be fibromyalgia, whether it be sarcoidosis, whether it be diabetes type 1, type 2. It's all in that whole autoimmune realm. And when
right.
you look back at your history, you can tell, okay, could have seen this coming if that's what we were thinking, you know, in the beginning. But you can understand more about your disease, that it's just not your body just as defective. It's actually something that's just passed on from generation to generation to generation.
Right.
You know, most times you'll find a lupus warrior has a child that has another autoimmune disease. So you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's just
right.
so important
right.
to keep that history intact. And even as
Absolutely.
You go through life, to keep your own history intact and to keep your children's history
right.
intact. Because in the future, somebody else might need that down the road. You know, we're not going to be here all the time. We're not going to be alive for the rest of, you know, eternity. Not in this earthly form anyway. But
right.
people have to know, what did mom, dad have? At least go back to your grandmother, great-grandmother, to find out what is going on. That's the only way that they
right.
can perform any type of research to say, well, maybe it is genetic. Maybe the reason why you got it two generations later or one generation later is because your father had this or your grandmother
mm-hmm.
had that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's real important
right.
to know your history and to keep proper history of your own health records. With computers
right.
and everything like that, there's no reason not to be able to find that information somehow, some way. There are death certificates
Absolutely.
Everywhere. You
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And going to the doctors in general now, especially during my pregnancy, I was like, man, I really
right.
I really need, you know, to know, be, you know, up to date. And I knew certain things from what my mom and my dad had shared with me, but you know, sometimes they ask a lot of questions. You're like, well, gee, we get in that state of mind when going to the doctor's office, they give you the forms, you know, the such this person in your family have this, and you checking no,
right.
you know, but
right.
know, but the thing about it is, like, your grandpa may really have, your aunt, your uncle, cousin,
mm-hmm.
someone may have had this, but because you haven't taken the time to share those things, and
right.
I just want to put this out there, it comes a thing about, you know, those family secrets, the
secrets,
so to
exactly.
speak, of things that are that take place, and where people in our families had different things, but you know, no one wants to speak of it, and
or they just didn't
yes.
know what it was.
Right.
You know, back in those
right.
days, they were like, "You're just
right,
right." You know,
exactly.
But those secrets those secrets that you talk about will hurt you.
Absolutely.
You know, it will keep you in a misdiagnosis for a long time. For a long
yes.
period of time. So it
Absolutely.
You're right. You got to make sure that you allow those things to come out. And it even with mental illnesses and things of that nature, mm-hmm. because realizing that lupus affects you physically, it, like we discussed earlier, does affect you mentally, spiritually. And some people that are dealing with some mental illnesses as well as lupus. So it's important right. that these things are not kept under the rug and swept right. under the rug or tossed to the side or just say, oh, no, Johnny wasn't like that. No, yes, he was. mm-hmm. He was like yeah. that. Uncle John was like that. Uncle Cecil was like that. You know, it's a, right. it's a pattern that they're looking at to connect to make sure that they have a right diagnosis for you. So you are absolutely right. Those secrets can get
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, man, I have definitely learned a lot today. And for the folks out there listening, Rockwell, tell them how they can get in touch with you and also how they can join if they want to support it, Lupus in Color.
Okay. Well, we have a website. Our website is www.lupusincolor.com. On there you can see, you know, frequently asked questions, things of that nature. You can also contact us at lupusincolor@gmail.com. If you have a specific question about lupus or about your personal situation that you didn't want to discuss on air, or if you need to find a support group in your area. We're out of Richmond, Virginia, but I'm more than happy to travel and help you start your own support group and secure some support in your area. We're also on Twitter at Lupus in Color and Instagram at Lupus in Color.
Awesome.
I think
awesome.
I hit it all, right?
You did. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to definitely encourage folks to reach out, you know. And we've talked about on the show, some people want to keep things private, and that's fine, but it's also good to connect with someone who can support you through difficult moments or just understanding what you're going through. You know, having yeah. someone of that common interest that you can talk to who can really relate to what you're going through has got to be, you know, one of the most beneficial aspects of it all. And so before, oh, go ahead.
The last one I wanted to tell you is that if you search Lupus in Color on Facebook, you'll be able to be in contact with over 7,000, almost 8,000 people that are either supporters of lupus or have lupus. We do encouraging thoughts daily, as well as some funny things to make you just get your mind off of it, as well as, you know, reaching out to people to find out how they can get different support groups in their area. So that's Lupus in Color on Facebook.
Awesome, awesome. That's before we get ready to get out of here. You got any final thoughts you want to share with the folks out there?
I guess my final thoughts is first, thank you so much for giving me this outlet. It's so important to get the word out there. Anytime you want me to discuss anything, please just let me know. I think my final thought is this. It's important if you have lupus to know that it does not have you. And I think when you wake and go to sleep in that mindset, you're able to do anything beyond lupus. You're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is for you to just get up, wipe that blood off your face, wipe the tears.
Absolutely, well said. I want to thank you so much for coming on here and informing us and informing me more about lupus and what it is and how it affects so many. And I definitely appreciate you coming on here and taking the time to educate and inspire and encourage those who may be experiencing lupus and who may be going through the process of understanding, you know, what's happening in their lives right now. And I can definitely tell from the ladies that call in, you're definitely reaching people and encouraging them, and that's definitely to be commended. So I definitely just want to thank you for coming on here, and as always, you are more than welcome to come back at any time to continue educating us about lupus and kicking lupus in the butt, as the lady said.
There you go. That's Jan's favorite statement. Go ahead now.
I
love it.
definitely appreciate it, and I'm going to be putting Raquel's links on the Beautiful Butterfly Show page on Facebook as well, and I've been putting it out there on Twitter and Facebook, so you guys definitely inform yourself, educate yourself, and pass along to other people as well. So, Raquel, thank you so much for coming on here, and I hope
thank
you have a fantastic rest of your evening.
Awesome. You too.
Thank you. All right, folks, and that was Raquel Dozier, you guys, CEO, founder of Lupus and Color. Make sure you go on Facebook, like it, like the page, support it. Like I said, inform yourself, educate yourself. It's the greatest thing ever. And so with that said, folks, we're going to get ready to get out of here, and I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. Let us know what you thought about our guest tonight and the information shared here on the show by emailing us at TheBeeFlyShow@gmail.com, and we will love to hear from you. And so with that said, folks, we're going to get ready to get out of here, and you guys have a fantastic evening.
Hopeless and broken, alone and abandoned, can't see my way. No sign of light in the darkest of nights. Can't find my faith on my fears. But a still small voice speaks to me and calms the cover of my raging sea. Small boy, speak to me.
luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.